Well, that call will sound one morning. He said, by the trump of God, the dead in Christ that are saved shall rise first. Then we, which are alive spiritually and remain physically, shall be caught up together in the clouds. This is not our home. I'm glad we've got a better place to go to. If you have a Bible with you this morning, if you'd turn with us over the Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. I've asked my wife today, but she's singing an invitation song. Somebody had wanted her to sing a song, and I think it'd be appropriate this morning. And surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I'm glad the Lord's just not stopped by. I'm glad we that are saved, that He lives in us, we brought Him here this morning. Within that church of Ephesus, Jesus was walking in the midst of the candlestick. I'm glad we've got a Jesus that walks. I'm glad we've got a Jesus that is watching. I'm glad we've got a Jesus that is talking. For He knows what we need. Here the Song of Solomon, the writer Solomon says that it is the Song of Songs. How many songs have you ever heard in your life? My goodness, there's so many that's made the charts. But he said, I'm going to tell you, I want to write to you about the song of all songs, which is Solomon's song. In other words, a man has got to experience before he can write about the song. A man has got to experience the sermon before he can preach the sermon. A Christian must live the experience before they can help anybody else in that experience. And so he said this is simply Solomon's song. He said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, talking about the Lord. Now, here's a great picture. By the way, you can be seated this morning. I'm going to be a little lengthy. Thank you for standing honoring the reading of the Word of God. A little background to this Song of Songs. It has to do with the bride and the bridegroom. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride is the church. The church means the called out ones. We are to be different than this whole world. We're not better than anybody else, but we've had an experience with the Lord Jesus. And He said, our lives have changed. For the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become anew. Now, before I got saved, I could do anything, and it really didn't bother me. But now that I've been born again, saved by God's grace, even little things now bother me, and I'm glad that they do. And so here Solomon is writing. He says, I'm writing from this passage. He said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine, because of the Savior of thy good ointments. Thy name is as the ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. He says now, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, the upright love thee. He's talking about his experience with the Lord Jesus. And with the church and with Christ today, that ought to be our experience, that we ought to realize that His love is better than wine. His love is better than anything that I've ever found. His love is greater than anything I've ever tried this morning. And certainly He says, verse 5, I am black but comely. He says, O you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I'm black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. I compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses of Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of Engada. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. He said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Now here, I studied out this passage as the Lord had pressed this upon my heart for this morning. I've seen light in the Song of Solomon like I've never seen. We see one that has been madly in love with the Lord Jesus. Do you remember as that church of Ephesus, Jesus simply said this, He walked amongst them in the midst of the candlesticks, and He said, I know you labor in your works. It's great that you're laboring and working, but I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, if you leave something, then you simply know where you can go find it. He did not say that you don't love me anymore. He just simply said, you don't love me the way that you used to love me. And I'm going to tell you, it's a big difference in losing something and leaving something. He says, you've left your first love. So here we see the church or the Christian. In this experience, we see Solomon in love with the great and the holy one. He said, there's nobody like you. But all of a sudden, he felt so low. We don't know if a trial came. We don't know if sin came. But we do know this. He quit sensing God. And his heart and his mind reflected back to the way that it used to be with the Lord. He couldn't find his way back, and someone guided him. And then all of a sudden at the end of the passage, he quits talking and God starts talking. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that you can reflect and remember where you used to be. But no longer today, you're where you used to be. But I got good news for you. God's never left you. He's right where He's always been this morning. I'm glad He loves us with an everlasting love. Now watch this passage. I'll be done preaching. Number one, in verse one, there is an assessment. Here's Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. That's amazing. He wrote this Song of Songs. It'd do you good to underline it in your Bible. The Song of Songs. The assessment. But then, secondly, notice his affection. He said in verse number 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Can I tell you that going to church is simply going to church, but when you have got a relationship and a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing like His presence. A while ago when He come by my chair, I'm glad He still loves me. I'm glad He gives me kisses from another world. I thank God I know Him this morning. And so we see His affection. He said, and let Him kiss me the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. I'm going to tell you, you've never had love until you've learned the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that He died on a cross for you and for me. And there's nobody like the love of God. Solomon said, I found this love, it's better than wine, because the Savior of thy good ointments. I sure am glad that He can put healing, a balm in all of our wounds this morning. There are no ointments much that you can give or I can give. But there's one that Solomon's writing about. He said, when I was weak and sick and lowly and didn't know what to do, He said, God, You've been faithful. You put the ointments of Your heart down in my soul. You've given me something that nobody else has ever given me. I come to tell you this morning, He's not out of ointment this morning. He loves His sheep and He's concerned about where we are in our wounds today. He said, there's nobody like Him. Has your family ever forsook you? Has your friends ever forsook you? Has life ever hurt you? Solomon said, I found out one that can put in the ointments in my wounds. He said, I love Him so. Does anybody love Him this morning? I'm talking about just not going to church and going through emotion. I'm talking about, do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? We see Solomon and his assessment. Solomon and his affection. He said now, He said, thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. I want to say, there's nobody's name like Jesus. There's a name above all names. This world will let you mention God, but honey, when you mention Jesus, you draw a line in the sand. I say, there is no name like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Jesus can do it all this morning. He said, thy name is above all names. He said, now verse 4, His affection, draw me. We will run after thee. Have you ever noticed when you do wrong with God, when we sin individually, and matter of fact, we all sin individually, not corporately, but we all got issues this morning. Wouldn't it be great if the day that God saved us, He had saved our flesh, and He would have put us in a capsule. Honey, let me tell you, when I do wrong, it grieves my heart. I don't like sinning. I don't like to be around sin. There's nobody like God this morning. And He said, would you draw me? Have you ever noticed that God never pushes you away, but He's always wooing you? You know, the devil drives you. God don't drive nobody. God woos people. God draws people. He said, oh Lord, I wish You would just draw at me. Have you ever been in a place in your life to where you realized you couldn't get back to where you needed to be, but there's a God that's sitting on His throne that still has drawing power this morning? Draw me. Man, sometimes when I'm away, somebody said, well, you need to take some time off and go find yourself. I don't like what I find. And I look around here this morning and realize y'all don't like what you find. Because we're all wicked. And we all got issues. And we better realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. Draw me, Lord. God, do something for me. Draw me. God, I want to feel Your kisses again. I want to experience the ointments again. I'm going to tell you, you being a Christian, it's not up to you. We must try our best to live right and do right. But honey, there's a God that lives in you. You don't need the FBI to tell you you're doing wrong. The Holy Ghost will draw you. The Holy Ghost will show you. We got too many Baptists think they're working for the FBI this morning. Investigators, it'd do us all good to investigate our own life. Isaiah saw Him high and lifted and he said, whoa, It's me. I heard about a ministry the other day. Matter of fact, it's not real far from here. The preacher got to wanting to reach the down and outers. Them that, you know, the typical Baptists don't like or don't want. They got to come into the church and the crowd of Baptists didn't like them lowlifes. Those despicable type people. Well, I want to remind you this morning, if it wasn't for the grace of God, every one of us would be where they are today. Woe is me, Lord! Judge not that ye be not judged. Draw me. Help me, Lord, because I know if you don't do something for me, I'm going to stay right where I am. Wouldn't it be terrible? You just been saved alone. Wouldn't it be terrible when you got away from God if He just left you alone? He said, draw me. I love seeing these young people in the choir. I appreciate them going to the youth meeting yesterday. How they sing with joy in their lives and their hearts. Young people, stay with God. Stay close to the Holy Ghost. Be submissive to Him. But I want to remind you, it may come a day in your life when God sees me way out yonder. But I sure am glad He's still in the drawing business this morning. Draw me. I guess me being a preacher is the only one's ever got problems with myself. There's times that I feel so far away, but I hear a song. A little child say something to me. I go open my scripture or be in my prayer altar, and the Holy Ghost will start drawing me to where I need to be. I like what the old feller said. Little boy was flying a kite one day. His daddy got him a big ball of twine and got plumb out of sight. Little boy was sitting out there with it tied to his finger and he was just doing this every now and then. His daddy walked up there and he said, son, what in the world are you doing? He said, oh, daddy, I'm flying my kite. He said, well, son, I can't see it. He said, you're crazy. How do you know that it's still up there? He said, because it's doing this. Hey, you know you say, preacher, because it still does this. I sure am glad He hadn't left me to myself. Draw me. Now I want to say something here where the Lord spoke volumes to me last night. You notice this great affection. He said, I want you to draw me. We'll remember thy love more than wine, the upright love thee. And then verse 5, look at not only the assessment, the affection, but now look at his apprehension. Has anybody ever felt this way? I'm black but comely. You know, I've noticed this, the more the light shines, the darker I get. The more I'm around the Lord and that light shines in me, the more I realize who I am and what I am. But I'm glad there's a Savior this morning. And so He simply said this in His apprehension. He said, verse 6, look not upon me because I'm black. The sun had darkened him. He said, my mother's children are angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. Now, look at here, daddies. Let me say something to you right here and I'll get on and preach it. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. He said, they made me keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. I want to say something to this church this morning as your pastor. God has put me here as the under-shepherd of this vineyard. But I've got to take care of my own vineyard first. My wife, my children. You may be working for an employer. You better not let your vineyard go. Every man must take care of his own vineyard that God's put in. I found myself years and years working daylight to dark for another man's vineyard and letting my vineyards go. It's so easy done. we get caught up. First of all, there's flesh. We don't want to do what's right to our children, to our wives, to our family, to us. Sometimes, people, you got to disconnect out of this old world and get with God and your family. A lot of folks think a preacher, this vineyard's priority, but let me remind you something this morning. Even though it's very, very high on my list, my home is my priority. Some Baptists don't like that. They think a man's not to have his own vineyard and see about it. But let me tell you something. Every man must be the keeper of his own vineyard. I can't keep your vineyard. I've been criticized about this. Well, why don't you go straighten them people out? Why don't you straighten yourself out? I'm not a dictator. I'm not a coach. I'm not a referee. I'm a preacher. I'm to preach the Word, keep myself. The Bible says every man keep his own self in the love of God. I can't go home with you and make you do it. Then you won't blame everything on your preacher because you're crazy. I got enough to see about in my house. Hey, y'all do this. Spin around and tell folks behind you, he's preaching this morning. Turn around and tell him, he's preaching this morning. Turn around and tell him, he's preaching this morning. My Lord, call the preacher. Call the preacher. Call the preacher. Why ain't the preacher here? Why ain't the preacher there? Hey, why don't y'all look around here this morning? I wonder, could one man see about all y'all the way some folks think that I need to be seeing about you? What, 125 families here? How can I be there every Saturday? Give me a break! I've got to see about my own vineyard. And you got to see about your own vineyard. I think that would keep us all pretty busy. I set some scuppernines out up, making me a little vineyard. I declare, these briars. Any of y'all ever try to run a clothesline through a muscadine vine and watch what happens when you can't get the lawnmower up next to it? It's a lot of maintenance, isn't it? And so it is with our lives personally. We must take care of our lives and help each other and support each other. The Bible still says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It still says, you wives, be submissive to your husband. And Hillary ain't preaching that. The wife is not a doormat. It's a partnership. What he says is apprehension. He said, Lord, I'm black, I'm comely. You know what he said? You know simply what Solomon said, and sometimes I felt like this a lot in life. Lord, I don't know why you fooled me. Lord, I don't even know why you'd want me. Let me tell you why he wants us, because he loves us. And now, watch this. I'll be done preaching. The apprehension. But verse 7. Notice the anticipation. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest.
What thou makest thy flock to rest in the noon, or what should thou do as the moon turn aside by the flocks of thy companions? Look what he says about underline this. Tell me. Now look at his assistance. This is what he says, Lord. I feel so unworthy that you didn't love me. Hey, come here and tell something. You ever done something and you wonder if you had done it? Maybe somebody, maybe your neighbor would say something bad to it. You shake your fist at somebody going down the highway. Or maybe you said something other than people sitting by you on the view and church. And then you get out there and you get thinking about, Lord, look how far away from you I am. And let me ask you this. What about in your relationships or within your children? Or just in life in particular, you feel like you're such a failure. And you say, Lord, I sure wouldn't love to get to where I used to be because I remember how it was. But Lord, I know you wouldn't have no way. Lord, I'm so unworthy. Then he says, now, but I'd like to know something. How do I get back? How do I get back? See, there's a big difference in people. The people that have left, but they've never known it. It's like the elder brother at the father's house.
Yeah.
Right. He was further away from the father's house than the prodigal. He didn't even know it. There's people sitting around, been gone for years, and they don't even know they ain't got clue. Used to sing in the choir, used to stand and testify. You used to do things for God, now you're as cold as a wind. And then there are those that are away and know they're away and won't get back. Look what it says, tell me whom my soul loves, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest, and then why should I be as one that turned aside by the flocks and by companions. He said, Lord, I want to be a part so bad. I want to be present, Lord. Look what it says. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Look up here this morning. You know the best way back to God? Get yourself in church. Go thy way for thy footsteps and flocks and feed thy kids inside of the shepherds. He said, you know what you need to do? You just need to start being a part of the sheep. I hear people say, man, I wish I could get involved in that church. Be a part. Come when the little ones are walking. Come when they're feeding by the shepherds. Come where the shepherd feeds and the shepherd sees and the shepherd walks. The greatest place I know where to get back with God is in God's house when the Word of God preached. Somebody told me that, I said, preacher. I said, I love you, preach. Sometimes I don't like you. That's preaching. I didn't write the Bible. I read out of it. So, we see here his assistants get back to the flocks of God. There's nothing like God's people. How many times, Bo David, Brother Mike, but 10 young people and me, you know, 20 years. How many times have we felt so far away that we come around the people of God at God's house and we got help? The devil wants to drive you out. God wants you to get back to walking where he feeds. Where the little ones are stepping. Last Sunday, wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that amazing? Those who started schools, they spread both out into the wings up front. Isn't that amazing? There ought to be a place for your children to come to hear truth. It ought to be a place where your children can come. Don't say your kids won't. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably going to happen to you. Do you want the people there to just cast them out? Or do you want them to minister and love? You know why independent fundamental Baptist churches has died all across this country? Because they so barnyard mean and judgmental. What you doing? Let's put your mind in a projector up on the front screen. Let's see what's in your door this morning. Need a place to bring the children, people who love them, teach them about God. Aren't you glad when you're out there on the way back? Young people, let me tell you something. You play around the world and sin, it's going to cost you something. And I'm going to tell you something. God will forgive you. And you can get back this morning before you've always been. How about you get there? You start back about the clock. A lot of you Sunday nights are not important. Let me tell you how important it is to me. When this church is open, I need to be here if I'm not preaching. I need it for my life, for my family. We talked about the little foxes. I'm at Christmas box this morning. I ain't got to preach tonight. Chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, little foxes, full vines, for our vines have tender grapes. We'll have these little foxes to creep up in our lives for long. We're plumb out of church. We're plumb away from God. Don't know how we got there. So important that we assemble with the flock. Thou wilt not all thy Pharisees among women go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed the kids beside the shepherds. You know, it's just something about children. Hey, if some of y'all don't want to come to church next Sunday, would y'all please come let your children out here? Shake your little baby's head up now this morning. It's so important for the children. I love children. This morning, songs, now watch what it says. This is amazing what happens in this passage. He said, thy cheeks are hung with rows of jewels, thy neck is chained with gold, your borders of gold is filled with silver. He said in verse 14, my beloved is unto me as a cluster of vineyards in the valley. Now verse 15, all of a sudden the whole passage changes. This is one talking to the Lord, and now the Lord starts talking. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Ye are pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are pearl. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. You know what just happened in this Song of Songs? Solomon said, Lord, I know about you. Lord, I feel so unworthy. How do I get back to you? They said, I'm going to lead you back to the flock where the little ones are. And all of a sudden, the Lord started saying, my beloved, I love you. Aren't you glad there's a God that loves you this morning? He says this, I am the rose of Sharon. Mr. Nathan, you come. And the lily of the valleys. I want to say this. Roses means that of power and sweetness is that of the lily. And as the writer was writing, he said all across that country you could see those roses blooming every place. You could look in places and the lilies were down in the valleys. You know, the last few weeks of my life has been incredibly frustrating, difficult. But I sure am glad there's a God that has a lily in the valley. And you know, there's something about, I remember this last year, Mr. Renee's birthday. I sent her a big old bottle of roses. Hey, I'm trying. Somebody say again. I'm trying. Some of y'all need to try. And I walked in and smelled it. You know, there's just something about Jesus that Jesus can do. Jesus can bring sweetness to the ritual situation. And he broke right into it and started talking back to him. I noticed this. When a man realizes where he is and where he wants to get back to God through his heart, before you this morning in your life, are you so judgmental? The choir sings, can you enjoy it? Preacher preaches, can you enjoy the Spirit of God rather than the Word of God? Can you enjoy God's people? There's a way back this morning. Around the clock. The tens of the morning. I want to say something, Daddy. Now, I don't know about whether I say this, but this December, I think we married for 39 years. That's real close. You see that woman standing up there? This is what she'll tell you. We've had trials. We've had some hard times. But God's been good to us. God's been good to you. There's been times she didn't know what worse she's going to do with me. You know what she does? She prays. I was doing things that I'm not proud of this morning for many years before God saved me. She's stirring green beans on the stove one day, and God said, you're going to be a preacher's wife. And she said to herself, what are you going to do with Ken? Surely you're going to have to kill him. God can do it. He loves. There are people, it does my heart good to sing in church. Singing in the choir. Praying with one another. We need each other. Did you come this morning? Let's sing.